Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
We're your hosts, Ellen and Kathleen. The Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community is launching on June 15th, 2023. Come and join us. It is going to be a blast inside of the community. For $5 a month, you will get a full video, uncut video of every single podcast episode. So you get to see lots of extra little shenanigans between Kathleen and I. And we will also have a live Q&A session each month and a lot of other fun bonuses, some discounts, and just opportunities to connect with us, chat, you know, one-on-one with Kathleen and chat within the community as well. We are really looking forward to being able to connect with you guys, our listeners, on a more personal basis. That's something, as the podcast has grown, we've been able to do less and less. So we're really excited about launching this community and being able to really connect with you. It's launching in just a few weeks if you are listening to this episode in real time. And so we have a fun pre-sale deal. If you purchase now before the community launches on June 15th, for $15, you will get access to 6 months of the community once it launches. So that's half off for 6 months. So please come and join us in the community. Being a part of the Charting Toward Intimacy community helps to support the podcast, allows us to continue creating quality content for you in the form of this podcast and our Instagram content. Look forward to seeing you inside of the Charting Toward Intimacy community. All right. Welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. I'm Ellen.
I'm Kathleen.
And
back again.
We are back. Today, we are talking about the fact that sex is a team sport.
Team sport. There's no I in team.
There is no I in team. Mm-hmm. This is a team sport that involves three persons.
That's true. And I don't think we like to admit that it involves three persons.
We don't.
I think we're way more comfortable with it involving two persons, not three. But mm-hmm. when you miss out that, or when you leave out that third teammate, you'd sometimes miss the mark, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And we are not talking about threesomes here.
No, we are not. We are not.
I was like, we didn't even name the third person that we're talking about. Like,
that would be God, friends. That would be God.
A new listener's like, wait a second, I thought this was a Catholic podcast. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry about that, guys. So three persons, you, your spouse, and God.
Here's the thing. Like, do you think we were like sheltered individuals growing up? I don't know that we like, you know, just throw these things out there without even thinking.
Oh, first. Like, 100%.
Oh, no, that could mean threesomes.
Yeah. I was that person in like high school where I would say something like completely innocently, and like literally everyone in the room would be like silent until somebody was like, that's what she said.
Oh my gosh, that is so,
that happened to me constantly. Like, oh man, sorry about that, folks. Yeah. Three persons.
God is the third person.
All right, but sex is a team sport, and what is like a team sport? It is a sport in which you cannot get very good at it by yourself. Sure, you can practice by yourself, but you can't play. You can't even play the game by yourself, right? I'm thinking about soccer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can practice soccer by yourself, right? You can work on, you know, your kicks, and you can work on your stamina and your speed and aiming and stuff like that. But you can't play soccer by yourself.
Right.
You mm-hmm. have to have more than one person to play soccer. Like, and the same goes for sex. You can't have sex by yourself. You can't.
Yeah, please.
Our
please,
culture yeah, please, wants yeah. to say that you can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not the topic of this episode. But, like, also just put the kibosh on that right now. You cannot have sex by yourself. You know, you can like work on things that will help your sex life by yourself, right? You can go to therapy, you can work on your mindset. You can, you know, I think that's a lot of the stuff that you can do by yourself is like mindset stuff, and just personal work. But you can't do sex by yourself.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing that I think when I think of team sports, right, like here's the thing like swing or like track, right? And I'm not talking like relay style. I'm talking like solo racing, right? If you win at those things, like the glory belongs to you and you alone, right? But when you're playing in a team sport, right, like the glory is shared because it wasn't, it didn't take just one person's involvement. It took a working together of everybody, right? Like not just you taking something all the way to the goal. Like you had to pass it and then pass it back and then, you know, go to this third person over here, right? And then that's how it all worked out. And therefore the glory of it all is shared, right? Where that's exactly what it should be in sex. It should be a shared glory. It's not like, oh, you did this right, you know, like, or I did this right, so go me. Like, I'm so good at sex. Like, no, it's, you know, it's the shared glory of working together. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's, sex is not about you. It's not just about you and you being good, right? It's not just about your spouse and your spouse fixing things that are wrong. It's not just about you fixing things that are wrong. Like it's you and your spouse working together to get better at sex. Like sex requires practice, and constant like work for it, for you to be good at it. And like, I want to encourage you to get good at sex because sex gets so much better when you're good at it. Like sex kind of sucks when you're new at it.
Right. No, I mean, I think I just said this in an episode recently. I think maybe when we were talking about tips for your first time, I may have already said this, but I'll repeat it again because it's worth repeating. I remember being on my honeymoon and being like, I don't understand how this is ever supposed to be enjoyable. Right. Like, and like that's when you're like young and like infatuated and, you know, off the high of your wedding and like totally in love, right? Like we were traveling around Italy, just like two of us. It was like the most romantic, amazing thing. And I was like, I don't know. I think people sold me a bill of goods here because this, there's no way this could ever be fun.
Honestly, honestly felt the same way, right? Like on the honeymoon, you know, we're at this like awesome resort in Cancun, Mexico, and like having so much fun. And it's like, but then the nights were like, bleh, I could just skip those. Like, I don't really need, you know?
Right. It's like, it is. And now look, with all that practice, I mean, 10 years later for me, right?
5 years it's later just, for me.
Yeah.
So much better. You guys, I can actually say I like sex. I could not have said that.
Yes.
Back when I first got married, I could not have. Same. I would have actually probably, in fact, said, I am disgusted by sex. I do not like sex and sex hurts. Those are the things I would have said. Thank you, Lord, that like I've been on this journey of healing. But I've been so while I've been on a journey of healing, so has my husband in other ways. Right. And we have also actively worked on our sex life together, right? It wasn't just about me needing to heal my wounds from purity culture and thinking that sex was bad and dirty and gross. And then, and it wasn't just me needing to physically heal some issues with my pelvic floor. It wasn't just about that, right? And it wasn't just about my husband needing to heal his own wounds and his own hurts. I'm not going to name those right now because he's not here and that would just be rude. But we're all human, right? He had wounds. He had his own hurts, right? It wasn't just about us individually healing those things. It also required us to communicate about sex, to learn about sex together, right? To share what we were learning. And than to work and practice together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so true.
So.
And
go ahead.
Without that practice. No, I was just going to say without that practice, you can't expect it to go well.
Right. Right. You can't
expect it to work.
You don't just show up to a soccer game with your team
without having practiced. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like, and if you do, like, I'll give you a solid example. Intramural sports in college. If you went to kind of like a larger college, you probably had intramural sports. And that would just be like a team of friends that get together to like play the sport. I was on an intramural soccer team my freshman year, and we were awful because we just showed up for the games. That was it. That was all, like, we literally just showed up like 5 minutes before the game. And then the person who was the coach was like, you can play a defender this time. Oh, you can be a forward, right? We were terrible. I think maybe we won one game.
That's so funny.
Like the whole season, right? But then in my senior year, I joined an intramural Ultimate Frisbee team. And guess what? We had practice. We had practice once a week and we had game. Kathleen, we won that tournament. We won that tournament three times.
Shoot.
Because we practiced. Because we got to know our teammates. We got to know what they were good at and what they weren't good at. And we got to know what we were good at and what we weren't good at, right? Like individually, right? And the same goes for sex. You need to practice in order to get good at it. You need to find out what is your spouse good at and what is your spouse not good at? What are you yourself good at? What are you not good at? What do you need to work on together? What do you need to work on individually? And you need to talk about it too. You can't just like, you know, go practice sex and then just be like, well, I think my spouse needs to work on this, but I'm not going to mention it to them. Like,
right. Yeah.
Friend.
I feel like every single episode, we always have to point out the importance of communication. And it doesn't matter what we're talking about, which just goes to show you how important communication is to all aspects of sex, right? Like, literally, I was just thinking, like, oh, I should talk about communication. It's like, I think we just talked about communication in the last 10 episodes.
Yep.
But because it's so important, right? It's like...
Can I tell you a story about... So when my husband, Kurt, and I were preparing for marriage, we went on our engaged encounter retreat. The engaged encounter was the program. And so we're in these different sessions where these like couples who have been married for like 10 years and I think like 15 years or something, like they were sharing stories and like, oh, now we're going to talk about finances and how, you know, how this all plays out. And here's some stories about some bad things that happened to us and how you can like, you should learn from our stories. Right. And okay, now we're going to talk about kids and here's some, you know, crazy things that happened to us and here's how you can learn from our story. Right. All sorts of topics. I mean, pretty standard marriage prep weekend. But anyway,
sure.
Kurt and I at that weekend after, like, I don't know, we were maybe like 2/3 of the way through the weekend. We're in one of the like breakout sessions where you're supposed to just like chat with each other about the topic. And he and I both were just like, so every single one of those examples of problems that the couples have brought up have been because of a lack of communication. Literally every single one of them. Right.
Yeah.
And like, this isn't supposed to be an episode about communication necessarily. Like kind of what Kathleen was saying, like everything has to do with communication, but it's communication is at the root of a relationship, right? We can't have a relationship with God if we're not praying. That's communication. We can't have a relationship with another human being unless we are communicating to them. And ideally, with words and nonverbal communication, it's not just like, it's not just words. It's not just nonverbal communication. Like, you have to work both of those in. And communication doesn't necessarily just mean like sharing information. It means also listening.
Right.
Right. Like communication's a team sport.
Oh my gosh. Truly though. Truly.
But you have to You have to talk about these things and you have to listen to what your spouse has to say and like take it in and take it under consideration, right? Even if you're like, don't really believe what they're saying or don't really like appreciate what they're saying or whatever, like you have to, you've got to listen. You've got to talk about this as a conversation, not like a one-sided thing. This is like a two-sided conversation.
Yeah.
Actually, really, it should be a three-sided conversation because you should also be praying about these things.
Because there's,
there's three people.
Three members of the team. Yeah.
Three members of the team. Is it a Fulton Sheen book called Three to Get Married?
Circle it back to the beginning here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it is. It's Fulton Sheen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good book.
Yeah. I actually haven't read it, but I've heard it's really good. So I'm going to go so far as to say that, I mean, we talked about how, you know, it takes practice. It's not, you can't expect it to be awesome and great right away, right? The best, I feel like I may have talked about this before too. In college, I took a marriage and family course. Did I talk about this before?
Maybe. I did. But that's okay.
On another episode. But again, it's like something that I think of all the time. I took a marriage and family course when I was in college. It was like an elective theology course. And our teacher said that you cannot expect to have good sex until you're at least 5 to 10 years married. And I was like, interesting.
And like,
it's so true.
Yeah, the same goes for like any kind of sport. You know, we're not saying that sex can't be good earlier, right? But you can't expect to be like incredible at soccer after having only like just started practicing for a year, right? Like it takes decades of work to get onto an all-star team. So if you're looking to get to have all-star sex.
Yeah, there you go.
You need to train like an athlete when it comes to sex. Wow, we're just telling you to have a bunch of sex. Great.
Well, no, but I mean, what I think about with this is that, you know, there's a very surface level understanding of sex when you first get married, I think, right? So, and it takes years and practice and this to build this understanding of like, this isn't just a physical thing, right? It's not just a physical thing. There's a spiritual, huge spiritual element to this. And that this isn't about me getting what I want, but me giving my spouse what they need, right? And so really, the best sex is the sex where each spouse is focused more on themselves. I'm sorry. Wow. Repeat. Sorry. Go back. When they are focused more on the other than on themselves. I totally messed that up. Rewind.
Right. Okay. Sex should be a gift. Right. You should be focused on how can I make this as good for my spouse as possible. And
yes.
And here, like this happens all the time. Right. Maybe you listen to this podcast by yourself and you like your spouse does not listen to it. And you're like, I do that. I give everything to my spouse, but my spouse doesn't give anything to me.
Right.
Guess what Kathleen and Ellen are going to tell you to do. Communicate. You've got to talk about these things. All right. So, Kathleen, can we just sort of expect sex to be good once we get to 10 years?
No.
No. No.
No.
No.
You can't. No. It All doesn't right. just happen like magic.
So let's go back to soccer again. All right,
soccer.
Let's say you're 10 years old and you're like, I really like soccer, and you like join a rec team and you like get into it and you're like, wow, I like soccer, but I suck at it. And so you quit the team. 10 years from now, you are not going to be able to play for Major League Soccer. You're not.
It's a good point.
Okay. So
it's a great point.
You get married and you have sex and you're like, I mean, I liked it, but like, I don't know if it was good for my spouse or it could have been better or whatever. And you just kind of either don't have a lot of sex or you don't communicate about it, or you just kind of like leave it where it's at. Right. So like, think about like soccer again, like maybe you joined a rec team. You weren't that good. Maybe you didn't like the coach. You didn't like how the coach was coaching you. But like you still played like some pickup games here and there. Right. And again, you had a little bit of fun, but you knew like I could be doing this at a higher level. I could be better at this. Right. The same goes for sex. If you just are like, oh, it'll just get better. I'll just automatically get better at sex. My spouse will automatically get better at sex. Like, we just have to make it to the 10-year mark. That ain't going to happen at all, folks. Like, mm-hmm. And in fact,
yeah,
you very well might get worse if you're not actively working on having good sex. And what we mean by having good sex is making sure that you are being a gift to your spouse and that your spouse is being a gift to you. And again, this has got to be something that's communicated, right? Because it can feel very draining if you're like, all right, I'm so into this theology of the body thing. I love this. I love what Kathleen and Ellen tell me every week on the podcast. I am such a gift to my spouse. And then you're not feeling the reciprocal giving. That can be really, really draining.
Yeah.
That's why you have to talk about these things.
And I think that this probably goes without saying, but I kind of want to make a clarifying point here too. Like, we're using this analogy of team sports, right? And a lot of, like, with team sports, the idea is you practice for, like, the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about practicing sex, we're not talking about like practicing it outside of intercourse.
To
prepare for a game, right? Like the final, like, so when we talk about practice, we're talking about practicing it within intercourse, right?
Within
like,
an act of sex,
the sexual act with your spouse and nobody else.
Yeah.
You're not practicing it with like your mistress on the side. So that
you are not practicing it on your own. You are not practicing it with a screen.
Exactly.
You are not, that's not what we were talking about.
But with that also being said, practice can also in this sense mean personal formation,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's a really important piece too, that a way that we can, like when you're talking about practice, you're talking about making yourself better, right? Like doing hard work to make yourself better.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the sense we're talking about practicing the actual act of sex with our spouse, right? But we can also practice in this sense by doing the hard work that we need, like Ellen had talked about before, to get over the messages we've learned from purity culture that have really had, you know, a detrimental effect on our sex lives, mm-hmm. right? Like whatever our issues and our problems are, doing that hard work, reading the books, if we really are having a hard time understanding sex in a spiritual sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like doing that hard work to personally form ourselves to become better. That is also how we are talking about practice here.
Yeah. And you know,
like
I said,
I don't think it needed to be said, but.
No, I appreciate that, though. It's good. It's good. So let's be clear. I think I sometimes get like questions or comments about is like, oh, well, you know, we're not having good sex because my spouse isn't telling me like what he or she wants or needs. All right. There's a couple of issues with that statement. All right. First mm-hmm. off. Are you asking? Like, that's just super foundational, right? Are you asking, or are you just expecting your spouse to tell you? All right. You have to, you listening right now, you need to initiate the communication. All right. You're the one that knows communication is necessary. You need to initiate the communication. Your spouse isn't going to do it. They're not going to do it for you. You need to do it. And this is going to help your sex life. The other thing, the other kind of issue with that statement is a lot of times your spouse doesn't know what they want or need because you haven't practiced enough, because you haven't tried things, because you haven't formed yourself, or your spouse hasn't formed his or herself in, you know, what sex is, licit and illicit acts, available, you know, all of those kind of things, right?
Yeah.
It's, I can assure you, your spouse is not just sitting there going, I know exactly what I need my husband to do, but I just want him to figure it out. I can assure you that your spouse isn't doing that, right? It could be the other way around, right? It could be your husband thinking that, you know, you could be thinking that your husband's thinking that too. I just went from like one direction. Okay. Right. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. Take that away from your thought process completely. Okay. You've got to communicate, and you have to try things. You know, you're a team, and teams run drills. They practice new plays, right? They experiment with different plays, right? Awesome. Go do that. Try out new positions. Try out something different for foreplay. Try out a massage oil or a different lube or candles or, you know, like whatever it is, like get creative.
Yeah.
And have some fun, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is like the funnest kind of team practice, right? It's not the like terrible hill sprints day when you play soccer, right? You don't ever have to do that.
I would die. That's why I didn't do sports. I danced. Although that had its own difficulties. But man, hill sprints sound awful.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible. Funny thing, I had never actually played soccer. But soccer was like the first. I did do hill sprints, though, because I did like cross country and track. So, but yeah, I think really I really wanted to get that across to everybody listening that like this. Getting better at sex is not just going to happen. Okay. You're not just going to get married and be good at sex. You're not just going to get be married for 5 years and be good at sex automatically. You're not just going to be married for 10 years and be good at sex automatically. When you're 25 years married, unless you've been working on sex for 25 years and communicating, and both of you are aimed at trying to make it as best as it can be, then you're not going to be good at sex. And in fact, and I'm sorry if this sounds a little harsh, but if you haven't been actively, if you and your spouse haven't been actively working on making sex amazing for 25 years, you're going to be on the same level as someone who got married 6 months ago. That's where you're at. And I think you need to recognize that and accept it and then start working on it. Because guess what? You've still got some years. You've still got a lot of years to get really good. Also, if you've been married for 25 years, like, you're probably close to menopause time. Like, you might not even have to deal with NFP anymore.
Oh my gosh.
So that's cool, too.
My dream. But, although you have low estrogen.
Well, yeah. It's not perfect.
All those dropping hormones, yeah.
Not perfect. But anyway, I just think it's really important to note that like you're not going to be good at sex unless you're actively working as a team to get good at sex. And if you have been married for 5, 10, 20, 30 years and you haven't been actively working on sex, you're still at square one. And that's okay. That's a perfectly fine place to be. Yeah. But don't expect sex to be good. Like,
right.
You're still in the beginning. You're still on the, you know, co-rec team, the U10 co-rec soccer team, right?
You've got all the analogies.
But you have time. I know this is quite an analogy episode. But you have time to get to the major leagues. I promise.
There you go.
You do. Boom. All right. I think that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.
Bye.